You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
I want to welcome you this morning and say thank you so much for being with us and worshiping the Lord Jesus with us this morning. And then I want to just be the first one to say happy Advent. And we are in the Advent season where in the Christian calendar, if you know, I just love church history. And we love to participate in not only just the little C, what the little C is doing, but also in the legacy of what where we are as the people of God. That's one of the reasons why you're going to get to experience the nice Sin Creed as we go through it this Advent season. But let me just kind of help us. What is Advent? What is this Advent? One thing that we're really asking God for is God would help us to, during this Advent, to be a people that are fixated on Jesus. To be a people that are fixated on Jesus. So what is Advent? Advent is a season of anticipation and preparation for the coming of Christ. It's a season of preparation and anticipation for the coming of Christ. And so it comes out from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. And this actually, like, even in the liturgical year, the historical calendar, this is when the Christian calendar begins, the coming of Christ with anticipation. And so Christians, of course, we believe that Christ has already come. He's already come. Jesus has already brought his kingdom near to us, and he has already stretched out his hand to heal and to bless us. He has already been broken on the cross, and he has defeated death on the cross, and he has poured out his spirit so that now we can cry out, Abba, Father. So why do we re-enter this season of Advent? What are we waiting for exactly? This is what I want us to kind of just be, to frame it this way before we jump into our text today, to just for us to understand why Advent is important. We Christians believe that in not only it just one coming of Christ, but at least in three dimensions of the coming of Christ. So the first one is the coming of Christ in the incarnation, the Christmas, the what we're celebrating. Theologians call that the Adventus Redemptionis, which is like the coming of redemption, that Christ came to save us from our sin. And so that's the first advent of him coming. But we live in between two advents. The other advent that we're looking forward to, even every single time we're celebrating Christ coming into the world, we are actually also, this advent shoots us into anticipation, looking forward to his coming again. Which is actually what you're going to see that in our text, that is referred as the last days. This is the what the Latin fathers call it, the Adventus Glorificamus, which is like the advent of glory when he comes finally and he makes all things new. We live in between two advent moments. He is coming first to redeem us, and he's coming to make all things new and to reconcile all things to himself, and he's coming to become king forever in our lives. But there's another third aspect to Advent that actually, like, we need to pay attention to. This is the coming of Christ in our present moment, in this very time, in our present moment, through the Holy Spirit's work and through the word and through the sacraments that we take and through just communing together as the people of God. We live in between these two advents, but God makes all these advents into our lives 24/7, and he comes and he warms our hearts, and which is what we call Adventus Sanctificationis, which is actually like the advent of sanctification, God making us more and more like him. And that's what it means to prepare him room in our lives. Preparing room for him to keep on changing us and transforming us to become like him. At redemption, he appeared so that we can now be given the right to become children of God. And in between here, we're being made to look like him more and more. And in the last day, when he comes, scripture says that when he comes, we will be like him. So in the meantime, what is he doing? He's making us more and more like him. He is making us a holy church. Amen? And it is this aspect that I just want us to really just fixate ourselves in that and really be able to say, God, during this Advent season, I know everybody's going 1,000,000,000 different directions, trying to get the right gift, trying to get all those things. But I want you to fixate yourself on Christ, the gift of gifts, and be able to actually look at him and ask yourself, have I really, really understood the gift that I've been given in Jesus our Lord? So Advent then celebrates and holds together these three comings of Christ, right? And it invites us to wait in hope, but it also invites us to actually really now enjoy the full benefits of his coming. To enjoy these full benefits. We want this to be a season of joy instead of anxiety, weariness, and worry, as it's meant to be. So in a season of destruction, if you can get one thing today, it's going to be this. In a season of destruction and discontentment over the fact that and you're going to be walking into every single, whether it's your TV, whether it's a billboard, whether it's the mall, whether it's your internet, whether it's going to be telling you, you need. And it's going to be telling you of your, and just feeding that discontentment within you. And then not only that, there's so much destruction all around us, right? All around us, the reindeers and the whatever, the sleighs are taking over this thing that we really look forward to as the coming of Christ. In that season, fixating on Jesus, it begins to free us to fully enjoy the hope, the peace, and the joy, and the love of Advent. That's, if you can walk away with anything today, it's going to be this. And maybe just begin to ask God, this season, would you help me not to be distracted, not to be discontent? Not to be distracted, let me fixate on you. Let me actually be content. Why? Because if I have Jesus, I have what one Puritan, Jeremiah Burroughs, calls, I have the jewel of contentment within me, which is Jesus. Right, I have Jesus, and so therefore, what do we need to do? We're going to be walking through the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 all the way to 5, but we're using chapter 12 as an anchoring scripture, and this is what it says: therefore, since we have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and it's talking about all those that have gone before us, those that have run the race, and let us lay aside, listen to this, every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. We have a race, and that race has only one prize. And that prize is we are running after Jesus, and we're being sustained by Jesus because we've been set free by Jesus. Right? That's just like, we have only one race. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the gift of gifts. Jesus is the very prize of Advent. He's the one like that we're running. But he has given us a job here to do, to live on mission. So let's run. Let's run. And it says this, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the throne of God, right? And so we can get the fullness of this season if we fix our eyes on Jesus. And that word, fixing our eyes on Jesus, it's actually two words. It's two words. It's looking away and looking to Jesus. There are going to be a million things that are trying to get you to look towards them. to look away, look away, look away, and fixate your eyes on what? On what I would actually look at. And that scripture actually helps us. Every hindrance, it could be just the confetti and the fireworks of what this season comes with. And then we can be so focused in all that, and we can be so focused on the fact that, like, we're looking at our bank account, we can't afford all the gifts that, like, all those gifts that, if you really just, like, at least, like, the reality of everything, those very gifts that after 10 minutes after they're bought, you will see one of your children hurling across the room and literally it's shattering. That very thing that bankrupted you because you bought so many batteries, right? Let's not go into that. But like, it's just like we can be stuck in the Ferris wheel of what this season brings instead of fixating on Jesus. And also the hindrance of sin in our lives. Because sometimes as that sin kind of brews and the anxiety looms large, the question, the very thing is that, like, this is the time where every single addiction peaks and goes. Every single sin is indulged even more. Because why? A lot of people are looking for a hiding place. A place where they can hide for a little while to distract themselves from the what's going on in the world instead of running to who? Jesus. So we fixate on Jesus because he's our very comfort. So Advent is a time of looking away and looking to Jesus. Looking away, you're going to be distracted. I'm not going to lie. You're going to be distracted. I'm going to be distracted. But we are calling that, like, would you consider Jesus? Would you look to Jesus? And in verse 3 there, it says, consider him who endured such hostility. Consider him. Don't just look at him once. You haven't exhausted who he is. In him, this is what scripture says, in him there's unsearchable riches in Jesus, that you and I have been fully adopted, and in there, in Christ, there's so much more than you could ever imagine. So consider him. That's a pondering word. Consider him who endured such hostility. Then all of a sudden, those distractions and discontent, the discontent feeders, all of a sudden they become nothing because he endured even the biggest. Even Satan tried to distract him when he was trying to go to the cross. But he still ran towards him. So that you do not grow weary and give up. Right? I love what Hebrews 3:1 says. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, that's our inheritance. That's like Christ is making us holy. Let's recognize what he's doing in within us. Holy brothers and sisters, right? And you see, if you fixate so much more on your sin, you will never actually get to see what your true potential is in Jesus. Holy brothers and sisters, who share a heavenly calling. That's the Advent. That's what's coming ahead. We have this heavenly calling. What's that heavenly calling? Enjoying Jesus forever, right? In his presence, there's fullness of joy, right? You think you've seen joy. I love that song that says, you haven't seen me till you see me full of joy, right? Like this is it. This fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So don't get duped. Don't get sucked in all these temporary pleasures that are around us, right? We share this heavenly calling. Heavenly calling, consider Jesus, fix your eyes on him, ponder on him, meditate on him, sit on him, and just enjoy who he is, the apostle and high priest of our confession, right? Fill your thoughts with him, right? This, he is all that you need. He is all that you need. He's all that. And then so just look towards him. I love what John Owen says. He says this. He says, make up your mind that to behold the glory of God by beholding the glory of Christ is the greatest privilege which is given to the believers in this life. Make up your mind. Let us say it. Resolve. Anchor yourself deep in this, that your greatest privilege is to behold Jesus, right? This is the dawning of heaven. Let us regard it as our duty to meditate frequently on his glory. It is the neglect of meditation that keeps so many Christians in a feeble state. Right? A constant view of the glory of Christ will revive our souls, cause our spiritual lives to flourish and thrive, and our souls will be revived by the transforming power with which beholding Christ is always accompanied. And he says this, this is what transforms us daily into the likeness of Christ. In fact, I love this because Gus had his office downstairs here. And in there he wrote, have you beheld Christ today? In his board. And this was the question. He walks into his office, that's all he saw. And I think that's the preoccupation of Christians. Every single day, what have I seen about Jesus today? Who am I according to who Jesus is saying today? But I'm here to say that, like, you will be crowded by all the other news, but it's only in the gospel that you will get the most current news for your life. It's the gospel. Why? Because this is what Hebrews 1 verse 1 at least says, that Jesus is the final word. He is the good news. He is the final word. If you're looking for a word, we wake up looking for words. Have you realized that's what we do? We wake up looking for words. We check our phone to see if anyone sent us messages. We're looking for words there. Bad news or good news? We go on our social media feeds and we're looking for words. And whether it's gossip or whatever it is, we want to, like, it does it like, man, do all those celebrities and all that, we want to find out what happened and all that stuff. We're looking for words. And in some way, we'll open books and we're reading and we're looking for words. We're doing every single thing. We talk, we communicate, we're listening for words and we're doing all that. But all those words need to actually be drowned by actually this one word. Jesus is the final word. Listen to what scripture says there. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors. And this is like spanning from Moses, from Adam, Moses, and like from at least like we would say from Abraham to Moses and going all the way to John Baptist to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. This was like just really like pieces of information about who God is and what he has done. They heard it in different times, like, but in different ways as well. It was dreams, it was visions, it was God coming as a cloud, and it was a million in the clouds in a million ways. But it says this, in these last days. Can you see this? In these last days that now we're in this Advent anticipating for his coming, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things, and he has made the universe through him. I want you to notice something here. These two verses, they compare God speaking and they contrast it in three ways here. In the past, he spoke this way. But what is he doing in the present? He is speaking through his Son, right? He spoke to the fathers, but now he speaks to us, the church, right? But he spoke what? Through the prophets, but now he speaks through his Son. And there's something very interesting there, where it's actually like where the contrast as well there is like many times in many ways, and that's like a whole lot of times, that's multiple times, but then there's actually now he has spoken once. And then actually like it says this, he has spoken not in the English here, we get to say by his Son. But if you go in the Hebrew, it says he has spoken in Son. And it's kind of cool because Every one of us, you guys have a native language, English, right? Yeah? Right. I think in three or four languages before I think in English sometimes. Because I have a native language. And it's funny because, like, it's one of those things where the more I get comfortable around you, I've seen a whole lot of people sometimes, like, kind of just like, what did you say? I speak to my wife in my native language a million times because, like, there's just sometimes when we're talking and then just, like, I know what I want to say and I will just blurt it and then I realize, no. Oh, she doesn't know what I'm talking about. And then I will translate it to English, right? Because your native language is who, it's intrinsic to you, right? If you ask her when I'm dreaming, she's always like, you were saying a bunch of stuff, right? And it's just one of those things. And then it's why? Because sometimes I dream in my native language, right? But here's what you get to see here. He spoke in many ways, many times. But what is he doing now? He's speaking to us. No longer prophets. And that's what last week we looked at that. Moses and Elijah standing, and God says, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. Listen to him. And then you see Peter looking at Jesus in John 6 and says, where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? But the issue is that we are stuck in all the way else is. Like, we try to find the word everywhere else. But here, we're seeing that God's native language to us is Jesus. So Jesus is not only the messenger, but here what we're getting to see is also what? The message. And in Jesus, God's speech is complete towards you and I. And that's good news for you and I. That, like, he has spoken fully in Jesus. And what that simply means is that he's the full message. So ask yourself, what is it that you need? What is it that you wake up scrambling for? What's the word that you're looking for? Because you and I wake up and we are scrambling everywhere trying to look for meaning, satisfaction, significance, and we're looking for all those things. And we find those things in words. And sometimes we tend to look for it in relationships. We look for it horizontally. But here what we're seeing is that God's full message for everything that you need. Only you have the words of eternal life. The good news is fully declared towards you. Everything that you need, look at where you run to and ask yourself, what am I looking for there? Every one of us is looking. If you're going and you're looking on your phone, you're going on Amazon, there's a message you're looking. What's that message there? The message that package, when you bow and you pick it up, that package promises. What that package is promising is that I am going to make your life full in this way and that way and that way. But the truth is that after you have that iPhone 15 and you've done all the trinkety things that it does, it loses its flavor, right? They say all you need is a puppy, and you just say, you've seen that, right? What's the message? Like, you're watching this tundra blowing through the snow, and all of a sudden it's, honey, go look outside, and all of a sudden there's a bow, and then a bow tied on this truck, and it's the best truck, it is the right tailgate, and all that stuff, and then, yeah. And then you get to drive it. Your children walk in there with muddy feet and all that stuff, and it irks you, and it jumps on your last nerve. What message were you trying to get from there? Right? Right? So what message were you trying to get from there? And here is actually what we get to see. Jesus is the superior revelation. He is God's eloquence to us in the present. In Jesus, we meet the Father. We relate with the Father who has everything that we need. Jesus is the answer to all the questions that we have. Who is God? Jesus answers that, right? Who are we? Jesus answers that. What do I need? Jesus answers that. What do I need to become like? Jesus answers. What do I need to act like? Jesus answers that. What am I looking for when I'm running horizontally and I'm running down? Like when I'm running horizontally and when I'm running and I'm descending to the pits of hell and I'm eating all the poisonous things that I know are not good for my system and I'm eating of the filth of sin. What am I looking? No, what you're looking for is not going down. What you need is what? Up there. Right? Remember when we're driving from Florida, there was a sign that had been knocked and it actually said rest area. It was meant to say rest area this way and actually it had been flipped and it was facing up and it was saying rest area this way and it was going. And I was like, that's the gospel. That's for you and me. That's actually what, I was like, thank you, sign, for telling me what I truly need. What I need is not that rest area. What I need is that rest area. That's what I need. Jesus is God's full message for you and me. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And what I love about this text here is that in this last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, right? And I'm here to say He still speaks to us by His Son. He still speaks to us. And I love that. Like, because we have to actually ask ourselves, what is He saying to me in the midst of my brokenness? What's He saying to me in the midst of my lack? What's He saying to me in the midst of, I feel like all the storms of life are unraveling against me? What does He say? Is He not the one canvas, the pages of, is He not the one that if you cry out to, He is going to rise up from there and say, peace be still to that storm? What does He say in the midst of this? Like when I feel like I've exhausted all my options and there's these stubborn sins, what did He say to me when He walks to that gravesite and I feel like I've been chained to the gravesite? All I know is sorrow morning, day and night, and I've been tormented. What does he do to my mind that feels like it's been totally wrecked by addiction and all those things? Can He not come and speak to me? And then I rise up from that like Legion, like that the man who said, they say that they saw Him in His right mind. What does it say for all our needs? We don't have enough. We don't have enough. What's it look like to take and put it in the hands of Jesus and watch Him multiply it? Jesus is all that we need. Canvas the scriptures and see what Jesus has done. And what I love is this. Hebrews chapter 13 is going to say, hey, don't worry about what you eat and drink. It says that, like, listen, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has promised what? To be our help. Right? So Jesus is the final word. Jesus is also the first word. What does that mean? Is there? God has appointed Him heir of all things and made the universe through Him. And I love this because what that simply means is that Jesus was there at creation. I love when He's praying in John 17. He says to God, restore me back to the glory that I had before the world began. Jesus was there in the beginning, God. And that's what actually John is saying. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, when God spoke, and created the world, Jesus was there as the agent of creation. And so what I love about that is that it says that he has appointed him an heir of all things. Heir there means that, like, if he's, it means that for that in eternity past, appointed there is actually like this past tense that is actually like that goes beyond the beginning of time. And it says that from eternity past, Jesus is the rightful owner of everything. He is the heir, and he is the rightful owner of everything, but he is also, but like if you kind of look through this, this is what Advent does, that he is the rightful owner of everything, and he came, and he is the rightful what? The rightful redeemer of everything. It only could take the one who was, this is what Athanasius says in his book in the on the Incarnation. It could take the one who was there at the beginning, who created it all, to come and recreate it all. And when he recreates it all and he sits at the right hand of the Father as the heir to everything, that means that all things now have been reconciled to him. That's why when he rises from the dead, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is so beautiful because he now is the rightful heir before the beginning of time and even in time and beyond time and for all eternity. He is the agent of creation and he is the effective creator. And I love that. He is not only just so for you and I, what then we really have to wrap our minds around is the fact that he is not the means, not only just the means, he is also the goal of our Christian life. He is just not the means. It's not a Jesus helping me to become a better self, to become a better this, to have this and all that stuff. It's actually like here, what we get to see here is Jesus is not only just helping us to get this and that. What we truly need is to move beyond that, to realize what I truly need beyond all these other things is that he is the what? The highest, he is the goal. He is the highest God can ever give us. I love what that song, there is no more for heaven now to give if he's given us Jesus. But who is this Jesus? I love what it lists like. It says this in Colossians 1:16. Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth. Now I'm going to come to why this is important for you and I. The visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers and authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Through him, all things. Who else is included there? You and I. You and I. And whatever it is that you ache for, what you truly long for, he knows. He is the first word. He is the final word. He has everything that you need. He is the first word. It means that, like, in order for you to go, have you ever lost your keys in your house, and you have to retrace your steps to see where you're. If you were to retrace your steps to your true needs, you'll find the first person who informs those needs is Jesus. That's really what this is driving us to, right? John said, all things were created through him. There's nothing that was created that was not created, that was not created without him, right? And not only that, like I think it's in 1 Corinthians 8:6, it's not going to be up there. It says, yet for us, there is one God and Father of all. All things are from him and exist for him. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ. All things are through him and they exist through him, right? We exist through him. And that's where you actually go even to Romans chapter 11 that says that, like, for from him, he's the source of all things, and through him, he's the sustainer of all things. And to him, he is the end of all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So all was created for him. All was created and it moves towards him. And so Jesus is the only one that, like, if we are distracted looking for meaning and purpose and everything all around, we need to recognize and fixate our eyes on Jesus, because only Jesus is the one who informs and gives us meaning and purpose. Amen. So Jesus gives our lives real meaning and purpose. Jesus is the true goal of our lives. I love what John Piper says. We are more satisfied when God is most glorified. We're most satisfied when God is most glorified. And this is what now, in the midst of the rush of the season and everything that's going on, what you will actually realize is that you will find your heart longing. And a lot of times we'll look horizontally, and then we'll look all these other areas as well, like, and we'll look to our account, and we'll look at our shopping and stuff like that, and every single one of those things, and we'll look down and keep on going down. But really, your heart, this is what actually the writer of Ecclesiastes says. He says, God planted eternity inside. And so when you find that there are longings that this world cannot satisfy, C.S. Lewis says, it means that you were made for a totally different world. Look up. Look up, because Jesus is truly, he is the first word. He is what you need. He is the one who you need to be running to inform what you truly need. And but what I love about the fact that if he was there at creation, it means that, like, when he meets our busy hearts, when he meets our hearts that have been really just like that are just like crushing towards all these idols and all, and he meets them hurting and broken and all that, you know what we find out? We find out in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, if he created it, he can recreate it. He's a new creation. And he does it. I don't know how he does it. All things are passed away. He has now made what? Everything new. And he did it by going up on that cross and saying, it is finished. And his work is still able to recreate in within us what? Lives that can be fixated on who he is, the goal of our lives, so that now we can really run that race with endurance. But not only that, remove all these other things that are trying to create discontentment. And I love this last part here, is that he is the powerful word. Like, right? The sun is the radiance of God's glory, which is really just like there. It's like God, Jesus has, where Moses would have had fading glory, Jesus has unfading glory. Jesus has, he can handle, Jesus is the exact expression of his nature. If you want to know who Jesus is, he is like God in each and every way, in his essence and in his nature. He perfectly represents God, God's person, and he has all the attributes of God, right? And so he comes, and I love that. Because what we truly need is God. We were made for God. What we truly need and what we need is, we're looking for love. We're looking for joy. We're looking for peace. We're looking for hope. We're looking for all those things. And here it says that all those are packed up in Jesus. All those are packed up in Jesus. He upholds everything. And look at this. It says sustaining all things. I love this, because you need to just kind of underline that. Sustaining all things. Your body with all the neurons and the whatever, every single, the fact that you're able to move and all that, God sustains it. But not only zoom out, the world. the world, the galaxy, and all those things sustaining. But what does he do it with? Look at this. By his powerful word. It's only just by his speaking and says, let there be light. Let there be the world. Let there be this. And he sustains it all by the power of his word. But if he's sustaining all that by the power of his word, but what does his word do as well? It comes in and now even sustains you and I. Look at that. After making purification for sins. I love this because it's like, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate time, he is sustaining all things, and he comes now and he fights our battle. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and he comes, and now we are now through his word, and he cries out, it is finished, and his word is now final here and redeems us. He sustains us through that, and not only that. And it says he sits down at the right hand of majesty on high. It means victory has already been won. Now things are now moving. They're moving towards the last time where we're going to finally, he stands up and he comes down and he now finally wraps up the victory. Jesus is actually the powerful word. And what does that powerful word do? It sustains your past, your present, and also your future. That's actually where we now look, and we're saying, he began a good work, he sustains his work, he's going to bring it to the finish. But why is that good news for you and I? This is good news because what it does is that, like, if you look there in the Hebrew, in the Greek there, that is not the same word as word as logos and in John 1:1. Which is used to indicate God as revelation. But there, it's actually the word rhema, which is actually like a God's spoken word where every single day God is speaking. And this is where now when you go to Lamentation, it says he has new mercies every morning. It's every single day he has this new manna that is meant to sustain us for everything that we need, for our aches and our pains and our deepest needs. And he cleanses us and he enables us to actually now to live godly lives every single day. And his word that he has spoken over us has this cleansing power and sustaining power. So Jesus is the sustainer of our lives. Right? He is the sustainer of our lives. So even today, where you are, and I just was reminded when I was thinking about this. I remember I was going for a conference in San Diego, and Heidi called me. And this has really just been very helpful in me meditating and thinking about this. And she called me, and she was on the side of the highway, and she's like, "I can't feel part of my body. I just cannot feel." And she was panicking. And as she was calling me right at that moment, I was getting in the plane and just about to disable every communication out. And I remember burying my head there and just realizing I couldn't be in two places. My plane was leaving Chicago and flying into San Diego, and I couldn't be in two places. And I remember remember burying my head and starting to weep. And the scripture that came to my head was Colossians 1:17. And which says, he is before all things. By him, all things hold together. And I realized that, like, even though I was limited in space, there was one who could be there, but who could also be on the ground in Williamsport, sustaining, holding what felt like my world was just fragmented, was being torn to pieces. And part of my weeping there was like, God, I've already lost so many. God, this is why I was so scared to get married. I'm about to lose one more person that I value and I love. God, would you, in this moment, are you the sustainer? It says that you hold all things together. Could you hold my world together? Because right now it feels so fragile. It feels so fragile. And it was like we were sitting in our backyards. And when, for example, when my wife had heard also that she had, at that moment, that like she had pulled a nerve, a vein, and like, and she almost had a stroke. But then another time when she had thyroid cancer, we were sitting down, and she was weeping, scared for the second round of the surgery that she was gonna go through. And at that moment, she looked and she's like, "I'm scared." And we sat down and we said, "If Jesus was sitting right in front of you, babe, what would he say?" And we started conversing through scripture and saying, "What would Jesus?" And this verse came up. But not only that, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can sustain you in the midst of this. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy." And I'm saying, "God, how can it be easy in the midst of this?" And he says, "No, take my word. I sustain you in the midst of this." And we realize that if he can sustain the universe, he can sustain you and I in our little worlds. Amen? So the sustenance that you need today is also in him. And I love this because this is actually like where, when we feel so inadequate, when we feel so inadequate, this is what scripture is going to say. It's not going to be up there. 2 Corinthians 3:5, in the midst of the Christmas season, and we feel we're inadequate to provide for our family what we think they need and all that. This is what Paul says. It is not that we are competent to claim anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And I love that. And Proverbs chapter 12, 25 says this: "Anxiety in a person weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up." And I love this because the word became flesh. And in Jesus, now we have the good word that cheers us up in what? In every season of our fragility and our where we feel like we're losing it all together, he meets us and he says he becomes that good word. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, that is the call of Advent. Would you begin to ask God where you are right now? "Jesus, would you help me to stay fixated on you? In a season of destruction and in a season of discontentment, help me to fixate on you, Jesus, and so that I can fully enjoy the hope, the peace, and the joy that comes with what? With your coming and with your coming in the future. But that also the fact that even at this very moment, we're preparing room and he's invading our hearts with peace, with joy, with love and with hope, the hope of the Advent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." Would you ask him today to say, "God, would you help me to stay fixated in you?" I'm 40 this year, right? And I've had 40 Advents. And the truth is that I might have wasted all my other Advents. But this year I'm asking, "Jesus, would you help me to maximize on this Advent, to fully enjoy who you are?" So that when they're saying joy to the world, I'm not the Grinch saying there's no joy in there. I am the one that says, "Yes, there is. I now know the full joy of Advent." Why? Because I've come with empty hands of faith in Jesus and what he has done. And he has now cleansed me. He has now called me to sit with him in the heavenly places. And I can now fully enjoy that. I am one who actually now is going to constantly be looking back, looking forward, and then get empowered by his what? Sustaining word in the present. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you that you are the living word. that you are present with us. And so this Advent, I ask you, Lord, that, Lord, you would help us to, God, to fixate on you, to consider you, to fully enjoy who you are and what you have given us. And so that, Lord, even just everything about this season, Lord, when we look back, we'll be able to say that is the season, Lord, where Jesus fully invaded my heart. And so to those, Lord, maybe that have barred you out, I'm just remembering, Lord, where Mary and Joseph were looking. And they were walking and looking for every inn. And every inn was full. Lord, would you help us, Lord, to see our hearts as those inns? That, Lord, this season, you would help us, Lord, as you make your continual advents in our lives, that, Lord, we would not use our past, we would not use the things that are around us as distractions and hinderings, Lord, to fully enjoy who you are. Jesus, would you be welcome in our hearts as you were welcomed in that manger, God? And would you do the full work of continually making us more and more like you during this season? It can be so easy, God, to lose our temper, to get grumpy, to do all those other things because of just the things around. But would you help us to stay fixated on you? And would you help us to encourage one another as the church? It's in your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.